with Haptah Selassie will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book.
They have endorsed hell. Yana San.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Spring is Here, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here on this program. And you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of that, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's program. And we do a new, unique webpage for each and every radio program we do. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 84th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. Yeah, a recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. Dangerous in many different ways. And the top story of this past week, of course, in the international news section is, we are holding steady at 119 followers on Twitter. Oh, the world is amazed at this. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held this coming Wednesday, March 30th, 2022, but it will be an executive session, so you can't hear it. Yeah. Anyway, the next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI local station board that you can pay rapt attention to will be held on Wednesday, April 13th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 478,160,775 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,112,880. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 79,911,690, and the death toll in America was 976,467. So 5,913 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is higher than last week's. Significantly higher. I don't know if that means that the surge, or whatever they're going to want to call it, from the BA.2 subvariant of the Omicron variant is hitting us now, or what's happening, but obviously the numbers are up here. The pandemic is not over. And what's going to happen with everybody who's saying, the pandemic is over, throw away the masks, get close to each other, go to bars and hang out and breathe all over each other, shout and yell in enclosed spaces and all of this kind of thing, and pay no attention to social distancing. What's going to happen with all that? I mean, Jesus. And if it gets bad enough and they start saying, we got to go back to doing masks and everything, would it even be possible to get people to do that? Because once they let go of the tiny amount of discipline that they've exercised to do this so far, it's very hard to get it back. So, I don't know. I think we may be headed for some interesting times.
People here in New York aren't even bothering to get their booster shots anymore.
That's bad.
Some of them aren't bothering to get more than one shot to begin with. So,
And, of course, the BA2 subvariant of Omicron is unbelievably infectious. I mean, you don't have to be even at all close to somebody to catch it. It just latches on and gets into you. And one of the things we have to really just hope for is that the BA2 subvariant doesn't somehow mutate into something that is also bad when it gets into you. Because in that case, we'd have a variant that is extremely infectious and which can do a great deal of harm right away. Not to say that the Omicron variant is harmless, because there's this long COVID stuff going on. And studies have shown that it gets into your lungs. Now, with the Omicron, it appears that the Omicron only goes into the top of the lung instead of the bottom. And the older variants, especially the Delta, they went all the way down to the bottom of the lung and started doing a great deal of damage. And some of this damage is permanent. And so I don't know if the Omicron variant in staying up at the top of the lung is doing significantly less damage up there. I suspect that's the case, but it's probably doing some. Plus, of course, it can also affect your heart. And the virus, the COVID-19 virus, can get into your brain and start screwing that up. And that's not what you want to get screwed up. So the immediate sickness and, in some cases, death from this, that's not all that's happening. Some people are going to be suffering with this for years and years, and we've got these amazing dictates from some places, especially Florida, where they don't want to give it to kids. If the kid is healthy, they don't want to give them. They're saying don't give children who are healthy vaccines. And, you know, young kid could get damaged then, and that may be it. Once you have a damaged lung, it doesn't usually just heal up completely. There's some form of damage stays there, even if you're a kid. So, what the hell is going to be happening here? I mean, you know, this could be some kind of a thing where the virus does change and it comes in and comes back as something else, but it doesn't need to do that. It's already doing long-term damage. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. As I keep saying for all this time, this was all mostly preventable. And speaking of the statistics, the United Kingdom's Office for National Statistics, called the ONS, said in a report that new COVID-19 infections continue to rise across England, Wales, and Scotland, as the new BA2 Omicron variant shows that the pandemic is not over. In Scotland, an estimated 9% of the population had COVID-19 in the week ending March 19th. That's 1 in 11 people. 9% of the population of Scotland had COVID-19. This is an all-time high, by the way. They didn't have it this bad, you know, in 2020 when there was no vaccine and it was really going through everything. And it's also up from 7.1% of the population having it in the previous week, according to the ONS figures. And this is the highest figure they've had in Scotland since October 2020. Meanwhile, in England, the rate of people who tested positive for COVID went from 4.9% to 6.4%. While in Wales, it went from 4.1% last week to 6.4% this week. Yeah, this is not over. This is something going on here. And as I said, is this a surge? Is this something else? Whatever. The numbers are going up. And with people dropping all precautions, there's no telling what's going to happen.
Here in New York City, the number of kids in school catching COVID have already started going up. And of course, you are no longer required to wear a mask in school. And now the mayor's office wants to drop the mask mandate for the very littlest of kids. So,
and he's also getting into some bit of trouble because of the way he thinks, which is, you know, something that allows which tends to allow rather corrupt people to influence him. He says that the professional athletes and celebrities like that, they don't have to mask up or anything. They don't have to have vaccinations. Yeah, okay, performers and athletes, professional athletes don't have to. Of course, I think we still have the requirement for high school and college athletes have to do it. And the policemen's union, and yeah, the guy who runs that can be pretty damned obnoxious. But now and again, he's right. And he's saying, hey, how come the sports professionals and people like that, they get to not have to have wear masks, don't have to be vaccinated, and yet you fired a bunch of cops because they didn't get vaccinated. And yeah, he does have a point right there. I think that this rather stupid move by Mayor Adams is probably going to result in lawsuits that might be winnable. I think if a judge is looking at the overall things going on, a judge might very well say, hey, look, if it's something that you're going to fire somebody for, why are these other people doing it? The only reason seems to be that they're high-profile celebrities of some sort that maybe the mayor likes or something. So this looks like another thing that the mayor has stepped in. Oh, boy. Spring is here. Tra-la. Yes, spring happened just as we said it would. Yes, exactly as we said. Ah, oh, you heard it here first, maybe. Last Sunday morning at 11:33 a.m., the vernal equinox occurred in the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the autumnal equinox, so they've gone into autumn. And so, yes, we have slopped over into a new season, and it's a season that I rather like. This is good for me. Currently, the sun is setting at something like, what, 7:09 or something like that, and every day it's going to get a little bit more. Throughout April, the sunset time will really move later and later, because owing to the way our clocks and our calendars interface with the real world, October and April are the times when sunrise and sunset times fluctuate the most. They move the most. And so, yeah, just as in October, it starts getting darker. By the end of October, it gets darker a lot earlier than at the beginning of October. Well, in April, the opposite side of the calendar from October, in April, at the end of April, the sun is setting significantly later than at the beginning of April. And so, yeah, so we'll see that as usual. Nothing anybody can do about that. And so, spring is here. I really like this. And of course, in the olden times, they used to have basically two seasons that they considered. Farmers considered there to be two seasons, winter and summer. And summer for the farmers basically encompassed spring and summer, what we call spring and summer, which is why a midsummer, as in a Midsummer's Night's Dream, midsummer was the summer solstice. And we don't count it that way now. Of course, we count summer as going from the summer solstice to the autumnal equinox, which is a lot more precise, but farmers didn't have to be precise. All they had to do was know, here we're getting the maximum amount of daylight, so we'd better plant whatever the hell we're going to grow and try to make it grow for all this time. So that's what you get. And yeah, a lot of people who are farmers, you know, they have to pay attention to when to plant. People who are gardeners, amateur gardeners, do that too. By the way, I've been told that the chart of the seasons and subseasons that I have up on glib.com is helpful to gardeners, people who do their own gardening, because sometimes apparently you have to do stuff like plant, I don't know, rutabagas or flowers of some sort or some damn thing, in the first third of spring, or maybe the second third of spring. And I have those dates exactly laid out on my website. So you can go up there to glib.com. And if you're a gardener, you don't have to try and figure out when that might be. I'll give it to you to the minute. Yes, we have sunlight now. I find that so much better. It makes me feel better. And, you know, we're going now to the end of June, the beginning of July, when we have sunsets at 8:31 here in New York City, in Brooklyn. And, you know, that's what we're headed for right now. And, of course, we always are glad to see spring show up every year. And we have a little tradition related to this. And we're going to deal with that tradition right now. Here we have John, Paul, George, and Ringo giving us our tradition here on Back of the Book for spring. Take it away, guys. my pursuit of data that is generally pretty goddamned esoteric, I ran across a news item that says elderly adults who averaged more than an hour of sleep during the daytime were 40% more likely to develop signs of dementia than people who didn't nap or napped less than an hour, a study in Alzheimer's and dementia said in the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association. Oh boy, I take naps during the daytime. I sort of have to because for various reasons, including the fact that I'm an old fart and I've got this big prostate gland, which, by the way, they did some tests. The CAT scan says it's not the big C or anything. It's just benign hugeness. And part of what that does, of course, for an old male, is that the enlarged prostate gland also pushes against the bladder and there's less room in there. It also makes it so that when you're trying to go, it's more of an adventure than it was in your youth because the prostate gland surrounds the pipe that goes out. And so, oh boy, you know, the damn thing sometimes it swells up. Besides the fact that it's enlarged, sometimes for some reason, whatever, it swells up a bit more and it starts squeezing and you're standing there saying, well, is it going to go or not? Is anything going to come out of here? And, oh, it can be quite a thing for old men. And I've got that going on. And, of course, that wakes you up. I can sleep for an hour and a half, maybe 2.5 hours, and then my bladder awakens me. And so I don't sleep through the night. Also, of course, with diabetes, I drink a great deal of water, so I have plenty of stuff to get rid of in that manner. And so, yeah, so I end up with my sleep all over the place. It also didn't help that for all those years we were doing radio programs that were really in the wee hours of the morning, and I kind of got habituated to being up at those hours. Not that I wasn't up at those hours sometimes, other times, but really it became a thing that, you know, really kind of made my life different, the radio program at those, doing it live. Will we ever do it live again? Well, that's something in the future. Who knows what the hell is going to happen? Anyway, so yeah, this is not good. An hour nap asleep. On the other hand, if you don't get enough sleep, you also get Alzheimer's. So I don't know. Should I try resisting a nap in the daytime? I don't think so. I think it's less of a nap sometimes than more of my sleep happening in the daytime because I wake up and I say, well, I can't get back to sleep. And I rattle about and do things. And then hours later, I say, oh boy, I can't stay awake. And so I take my nap. And my nap can sometimes be more than an hour long. Oh well, we'll see how all of this stuff goes.
Be sure to tune in next week for the next exciting episode of Adventures in Aging.
Yeah, we could do that. I have a piece that we haven't been able to fit in for a while here that I keep not being able to fit in. Oh, well. And this kind of thing with old men's issues and stuff like that, well, that also relates to my health care. And we've got this interesting news. Pickles stumbled across this on some news website somewhere, that the VA, the Veterans Administration, may shut down both the Brooklyn VA Hospital and the Manhattan VA Hospital. And this would be very bad news for me, all right, because that's what I rely on for all of my health care. And if those two things get shut down, Ah, see, this is something that started with the Trump administration. They started saying, hey, we got these hospitals. That's not our business. Why don't we, you know, lay off these veteran people? Of course, Donnie Bonespur Trump was a draft dodger, and he has extreme contempt for people who are in the military, no matter what he says sometimes. As we know, behind people's backs, he talks about all of his supporters as a bunch of bozos. And so the Trump administration said, you know, there are hospitals elsewhere. Why don't we just send these veterans to these other hospitals? That's not a great idea, partly because the Veterans Administration hospitals know how to deal with certain issues that overwhelmingly come up for veterans but are rare in the general population. You know, Agent Orange poisoning isn't something everybody has. And the effects of improvised explosive devices, you know, not everybody has to deal with that at all hospitals. They don't have a hell of a lot of experience with this. They also don't have experience with things like, geez, you know, for the past 50 or 60 years, I've had this shrapnel over here by my gizzard. It hurts there. And they take an x-ray and they said, well, the shrapnel started moving. And we know what we have to do about this. Ordinary hospitals don't generally run into that. And this happens. I mean, my father did not retain his shrapnel. He also did not retain a significant amount of his knee after the Nazis got him with a mortar. And he worked with other truck drivers. And one truck driver had also gotten hit by a mortar. The German 60-millimeter mortar, I think, accounted for more injuries to American GIs than any other weapon the Germans had, and because they used it a lot. It just blasted areas, and, you know, the shrapnel travels far. And one other truck driver he worked with, you know, they would park the truck and grab what they had to take and run it across a street, you know, against traffic, and deliver it to the place they had to deliver it. They would get a receipt or whatever, and then they'd run back to the truck. And so this one guy gets the stuff, and it was up in the Bronx. It was one of those like six-lane highway types of things, a big avenue. And these guys routinely, you know, didn't care about crossing at the corner or anything. They were always, you double park the truck, you hop out, you run across all of this. They did this every day, many times every day. And this guy gets in the middle of the six lanes and his knee won't unbend. You know, it comes up and it won't straighten out. His leg won't straighten out. A piece of shrapnel had moved at that moment. And it had moved in such a way that his knee could not straighten out. And he was lucky he didn't get killed by the traffic. But he had to go to the VA hospital where they said, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. So they operated and removed the shrapnel, even though, you know, the reason why they leave it in sometimes is it can be very dangerous. These are not like, you know, some smooth metal object. These are frequently very oddly shaped pieces of metal, very sharp pieces of metal. And, you know, initially they say, we can't take that out because it's going to do more damage taking it out than leaving it in. But when it moves, they say, we got to take it out despite what damage we do. And they do that.
Was this your dad or the other guy?
The other guy had his move. My father had all of his removed in Europe. And actually, well, maybe in Europe or in Texas. They sent him back home, and then they sent him to a hospital in Texas for a while. And after some while there, I don't know if they did rehabilitation there or if they performed final operations to get the final bits of metal out of him, one way or another. So the other guy, really, you know, he almost got killed by the Germans, like, you know, a quarter of a century later. Anyway, speaking of the VA hospitals, which I, of course, is a very personal thing for me. New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand have come out saying that the federal government should back off plans to close hospitals for military veterans in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and upstate Dutchess County. And Schumer said that shutting them down, quote, would be devastating for our veterans. So many of our veterans depend on these hospitals. So many depend on the services these hospitals give people. This is one of the most intense concentrations of veterans in the country, unquote. And yeah, that would certainly affect me, all right. And besides the physical stuff that most hospitals don't see, there's also the psychological stuff. I mean, there's PTSD in regular life, but you don't generally get most people in civilian life going to the hospital and saying, "Yeah, yeah, I have PTSD from the time that I was in a basement and a tank stuck its gun into the basement window and was about to open fire, which was going to kill all of us," which is something that my father went through. And other people, you know, all sorts of stuff happens in the military. Really, they shouldn't be shutting down these places here. They're saying, oh, most of the new recruits come from, like, the South. So you leave all the old guys who really, really, really need it. You tell us to all go drop dead. Well, that was the Trump administration. So I am hoping that Senators Schumer and Gillibrand can convince the Biden administration not to shut these hospitals down. We need these damn things. I certainly need these damn things. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So it's Women's History Month. So for Women's History Month, we are pitching specific things. And yes, this is a rare instance where here on Back of the Book, we have a premium that we're offering you. And before we go on, here is a tiny piece from that premium. And it's Shirley Chisholm. Here we go with pitching.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with ability, with intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up that I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the National Convention. And I mean this. I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought in terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people. And for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program. Or call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
So many women, so much history, yes. Women in History here on Women's History Month. $15 a month, you become a sustaining member, we will send you, a gigantic amount of information from the air about women in history programming from the Pacifica Archives. And you'll also get a lovely tote bag. All you have to do is call 1-212-209-2950. You may not agree with all the women and their history. You may love some of them. But can you afford to be without it? I think not. Women in History, $15 a month sustaining membership, or as we like to call it, the BAI Buddy. Buddy, my buddy.
And the way you get your USB flash drive of Women's History is to call 1-212-209-2950. And when you call 1-212-209-2950, you will get a call center, and the call center will say, okay, what do you want? You tell them, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And the minimum for this particular premium is $15. If you want to pledge more per month than $15, you're certainly allowed to do that. And so, yes, people can become a BAI buddy for $15 or more a month, and you will get this 8 gigabyte USB flash drive with all of these audio programs of women interviews, speeches, all sorts of programming on it. And you can get all of that. And all you have to do is call 1-212-209-2950 and you will be able to get it for yourself. And of course, WBAI needs to do this. We are listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, which means listener-sponsored isn't a slogan. It's actually a legal declaration. We are funded by you, the listeners. You send us money, and it keeps us going. You send us a certain amount of money, and we end up paying for the tower rent. You know, we have a tower at Four Times Square, and the antenna is there, and the transmitter is there. We got to pay for that. And so we have studio space, which is being used by some people now. We aren't using the studio space directly because Pickles and I are in our living room pre-recording this. But one of these days we'll be back at 388 Atlantic Avenue. We'd like to make sure we have a place to go to. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call if you would like to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And for $15 or more, you get to receive $15 or more a month. You get to receive this 8 gigabyte USB flash drive of women's history recordings. And they've got just a whole load of things on there. And these are not crappy recordings. These are curated by the Pacifica Radio Archives. The Library of Congress, among other places, has used the services of the Pacifica Radio Archives for historical recordings. They They take recordings that are sometimes not in the best shape, and they, digitize them, and they fix them up so that you can listen to them. Yeah, you know, there is some tape that we used to have everything on tape, and some tape is better than others. And so sometimes you get all sorts of noise, and they know how to fix it at Pacifica Radio Archives. And so you get this well-curated and fixed-up audio on a USB flash drive, and you won't be hearing a lot of the ancient screw-ups that happen with tape. I can tell you about the old tape of the old days where the oxide would come off the backing, because what happens is what you have is you have the tape and you have basically glue, and then you put this oxide layer on it, and that's how it goes. And after some years, the oxide layer starts to separate because glue doesn't last forever. Also, if you used old acetate tape, the backing literally turns to vinegar. It literally disintegrates. If you go to an old tape and you smell it, you smell vinegar. And it doesn't smell like vinegar. It is vinegar because it's acetate, and vinegar is acetic acid. So 1-212-209-2950. And yes, we've given you a little extra tutorial on tape rot. 1-212-209-2950. When you get the call center, please tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And by doing that, you'll be able to help to keep WBAI on the air and to keep Back of the Book on WBAI. We need to show management that we have listeners, who are going to help the station out. And yeah, we have a deficit budget. We have passed a deficit budget on to the Pacifica National Board, and oh boy, it is a problem. The people who do the accounting are saying, oh boy, you know, BAI is not able to pay all its bills, and we haven't been able to pay our bills for quite a while. Well, we got to try and do better. You can help us do better by calling 1-212-209-2950. Not having enough money is our problem. You can be a part of our solution. You just call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's our sustaining membership name, is BAI buddy. And you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you pledge $15 or more per month, and you will get this USB flash drive. It's 8 gigabytes, which holds an awful lot of audio. You also get a WBAI tote bag. Please give us a call at that number. Give the call center a call at that number and help us out. Help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and help to keep WBAI on the air. And you'll also get to have, for this $15 a month pledge, you also get to have this USB flash drive with all of this audio on it, and it's all this historic stuff, and it's made so that you can actually listen to it in the modern day, because, you know, anybody can now just go record things, and it sounds so much better than the old days of tape. So, you know, yeah, those of us who've had to listen to old tapes can tell you it can be a little rough to listen to much of that. But the stuff on this USB flash drive has all been fixed by Pacifica Radio Archive professionals. Again, they're used by the Library of Congress sometimes. So it's going to be good sounding stuff. You heard a little bit of it at the top of this. Shirley Chisholm is a piece from that. So 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book for $15 a month, and we'll thank you. And, of course, the Russian war against Ukraine continues going on. Maybe we should put it as the Russian war against Ukrainian civilians. You look at Mariupol, and you can see it from the air. It looks like one of the bombed out cities from World War II. The Russians are now dropping white phosphorus on the civilians. I've always thought that white phosphorus should be banned by the Geneva Convention. It emits a poison gas. If it gets on your skin, it starts burning through. White phosphorus bursts into flame upon contact with oxygen. So it burns through you. And if you inhale it, well, if you inhale the fumes from it, you're probably gone. And this is terrible stuff. And something's got to be done about Putin. And if he starts using gas or germs, as they've thought he might try, boy, I don't know what's going to happen. This could end up becoming a war where America gets involved with shooting at Russia. Hope not, but that could happen. Stephen Wilhite has died. He was the inventor of the GIF graphics format in 1987. Yeah, the graphics file format called GIF. The idea behind the file format was to compress images so that they would move along the modems of the day faster. And in those days, some people were still using acoustic 110-baud modems in 1987. At that point, I had been using a blazing 300-baud modem. How fast or slow is that? Well, if I was downloading a text file, I had software that showed what's called the buffer, showed what's going through the wire at any one time. I could read the entire document as it came down. My reading speed was faster than the modem's download speed. Today, of course, nothing like that could happen. Yeah, my current download speed isn't 300 baud. It's something like 3.4 megabytes per second. Nobody can read that fast. And so they had to make the graphics files smaller so that they would go through it. And Mr. Wilhite worked at CompuServe, which was the first big social media platform. I had multiple accounts on CompuServe. I got one for myself, and then I had two others because I worked for Ziff Davis, which then became ZDNet. And so they gave me two CompuServe accounts that I had to use for work. And, oh boy, I was on that too. Shows you how ancient I am in terms of cyberspace. And on CompuServe, you had to dial directly into it. And you had to use that old modem. And you, with that modem, of course, you used a phone line, which meant you tied up the phone line. And when I was doing this, my male ex just did not like it because I was tying up the phone line. And then years later, Pickles of the North was not too pleased because I was still using a modem, a faster modem, a much faster modem, but I still had to use the telephone line, and I would tie up the telephone line for hours at a time, and she wanted to make phone calls. Oh, well. Those were the old days when you had to try and compress things a lot. And so Mr. Wilhite worked at CompuServe, and it was in their interest to have the graphics files be smaller. So the GIF files, the letters G-I-F, stand for Graphics Interchange Format, really helped what was called multimedia in those days. And yes, it's pronounced GIF. And we know that. I know that because in 1989, a colleague I was working with, a guy named Jim Freund, who you can hear on this radio station, and he and I were talking about it, and it's pronounced GIF, isn't it? And somebody else said GIF. No, it's GIF. So we had a little argument with that person. So we called up CompuServe, and we asked Mr. Wilhite and the guys who had invented it, how do you pronounce it? Said GIF. That settles it. Still, there are idiots who want to say every G has to now be pronounced as a hard G, which means when you do that, you make a gigantic error. And so we called them up. We found out, and it's pronounced GIF. And we don't really have modems like that anymore. Even though they're called modems, they don't go over the telephone line per se. And there are a hell of a lot of image formats these days. And with all the extra bandwidth, you can throw these things through there. I'm glad to say that I'm no longer bound to a 300 baud connection speed. So there's that. And Mr. Wilhite has passed away, one of the old guys. He was slightly younger than I am.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
This past week, Mayor Adams hired and then fired his New York City education policy advisor. This is all around one Catherine Barrett Lane, who leads Staten Island's Reach Out and Touch Ministries. Her hiring was announced Tuesday afternoon as one of Adams' 9 picks to the Panel for Educational Policy, which serves as a governing body for the City Department of Education and approves its contracts. And then the Daily News published a story online revealing her history of anti-gay rhetoric. Barrett Lane has said that same-sex relationships are in the same category of, quote, sin, unquote, as pedophilia and other crimes. She also revealed in the past that when her daughter asserted at the age of 3 that she was a boy, Barrett Lane and her husband, quote, began to militantly and violently pray for, with, and over our daughter. We prayed against every spirit that was not of God, including the spirit of homosexuality. At the end of that prayer, my daughter asked me if she was a girl. When I told her yes, she happily began to sing and rejoice about being mommy and daddy's little girl. To tell you this was one of the most frightening experiences I had with my little girl is an understatement, unquote. Yeah, she's a homophobe, all right. Really, treating a 3-year-old like that? God damn. Meanwhile, 3 other homophobes whom Mayor Adams picked are still in big deal city jobs. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
We'll be back next week. And it's nice, it's spring out. Well, it's not all that great, but it's a little bit cold, but early spring is like this. So enjoy it if you can. The sunset is later. Enjoy everything, and above all, remember what that reveling in the new season Dormouse said.
Sponsor WBAI New York with a moment in women's history. Grace Paley is familiar to longtime WBAI listeners.
I think someone had said something about how the old anti-war movement thought if we were all nice, everything would change. But the truth is, many people spent many years in jail. Tens of thousands of people lived in exile for many years. There are probably hundreds underground to this day.
Haley helped found the Vietnam Peace Center in 1961. She visited Hanoi as a member of a peace delegation.
Groups of people from the anti-war peace movement went to Vietnam during the war with an arrangement with the Vietnamese government to bring back American prisoners of war. This was the idea of the Vietnamese to really show that they would like to end the war, and they were sending these guys back, 3-4 at a time. And they were all pilots, they were all officers. It was an officer class. And they asked only one thing, and that was that these pilots not be used again during the war, and that they not have any association with the Air Force. Within 6 months of their return, the United States government had them teaching other pilots and continuing their old work. It was clear from that the United States had no intentions of ending that war. The reason I'm telling you this is because I think the whole Iranian business is exactly the same thing.
The celebrated writer and peace activist was forever making connections between the past and the present. Grace Paley once said, "There's no point in getting older if you can't say something about what happened earlier."
We're living right now at a time where the United States government could have gotten out of the whole thing very easily.
In the 70s, Paley turned her attention to the anti-nuclear movement. She once said for a writer not to be political is peculiar. She was interested in a history of everyday life. She was one of the earliest writers to explore the lives of women, mostly Jewish, mostly New Yorkers, with a focus on single mothers. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Grace Paley and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag for all your belongings when you're out and about. Please go to women.wbai.org, women.wbai.org, to become a WBAI buddy in the name of your favorite program, or in the name of all WBAI programs, or in the name of WBAI's long history of activism and programming you enjoy. Please call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, "Yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month."
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns.